Jones and Mike, 720 WGN. Jones, you look spiffy, and I appreciate the red for Valentine's Day. I really do.
That's not why I did it. I did get a haircut, though, and I'm very happy that you noticed that.
My Black History Month is getting, it's off to a rotten start, and we're halfway through it, but it's been a rotten Black History Month for me.
And why has it been a rotten Black History Month?
Every day, there's another racially divisive story, and I'm hoping in the spirit of Valentine's Day, we can bring Chicago together.
That is not going to happen.
No, it absolutely
not
can, and it will happen. Last week, the big game. Are we allowed to say, we're allowed to say Super Bowl? Sean's behind the glass nod. If we can say Super Bowl, are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, he gave the thumbs
up. I've said it twice now, Sean. Okay. We are allowed to say Super Bowl when it's not a commercial. So last week, for the Super Bowl, there were all sorts of storylines that happened, and apparently people are still agog over these things.
Absolutely. Unbelievably so.
I am more of a fan of the Cam versus Peyton storyline, because leading up into the game, Peyton was accused of using HGH, but I haven't heard word one about it, which that could have affected the Super Bowl. I want to say the big game over and over and over again.
No, you've got the all clear.
But all we hear all week is Cam Newton this and Cam Newton that. Can you explain to me, Jones, recap it for me, why are people angry at Cam Newton?
Well, I mean, simply they're mad at Cam Newton. Going into the game, he's been for pretty much his entire career, and especially this season with his success and the dabbing as he gets into the end zone, a.k.a. moving your arms, but I guess that's called a thing now. Everything's got to be a thing.
It's like a sneeze.
So that's like dabbing.
Yes. That's how I teach my kids to sneeze.
You know what it is?
He's actually helping me out immensely.
Right. It's one of those things that it just does get under the skin of people, largely I would say white people. But when they see a man of color celebrating any kind of whether athletics, getting end zone, any kind of getting in the end zone, getting a touchdown, leaving your hands hanging in the air after a 3-point shot, there's something where it sticks in the craw of people, and predominantly white people, that it doesn't translate over to other white athletes. Now, Cam is someone who has celebrated a lot of his successes, hasn't so well handled his failures, but there's something about him celebrating his successes that has gotten him kind of in hot water with a lot of NFL fans. So when he went into this game, had a horrible game, it was just the atmosphere was ripe to kind of go after him. And then, of course, at the end of the game, he handled his press conference poorly.
Oh, right. And that was the thing that set people ablaze this week. Rick Morrissey has written about it twice in the Sun-Times this week, about how, and even calling him, let me see if I can recall correctly, a petulant child. I prefer my children to be seen and not heard. Petulant is not what I want my children to be. So to me, the worst thing you can call a grown man is a petulant child.
Right.
And Morrissey twice has gone after him this week for that.
Yes.
But the narrative leading up to the game was, we hate Cam.
Yes.
And then after the game, it has just been intensified. Look at the way he acted. Petulant child.
Well, it's over. It's not even, it goes beyond even Cam. Like, when you look at what has carried on through the course of this week, and you're acknowledging halfway through Black History Month, you know, you see the reaction that people had toward Cam Newton and the way that he handled his post-game press conference, and then the electric reaction to Beyonce's performance at the halftime show being this militant Black Panther show. And it was so funny to me as I was sitting there watching that. When the performance ended, I thought nothing of it. I was like, oh, that's any other Beyonce performance you see. When's the game coming back?
You've seen a lot.
And I have. I've actually seen her in concert.
You are a Bay expert.
Not an expert.
Of the two people in this conversation.
Of the two people in this conversation.
For now. 312-981-7200. Call or text.
But I have to say, it's been unbelievable, this electric reaction. And I think it's this narrow-mindedness. It's this we don't know each other, and we're pitching our battles before we even get to know each other and what side of the aisle we really stand on each different issue.
I love that. Bringing the races together, it's Jones and Mike, 720 WGN. 312-981-7200, call or text. Jones and Mike. Jones, you are the sports aficionado of the pair of us.
Okay.
Not that I, well, yeah, and apparently the Beyonce expert of the two of us.
I have a lot of weight on my shoulders right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm building you up. Much like Gar Pax set up Fred Hoiberg unduly by saying you have a championship squad, and now look at what's happened.
Right.
First year head coach, never coached at the NBA. You have a championship squad. Go out and win it.
Right.
Now I'm saying you are the Beyonce and sports expert.
Okay.
Cam Newton, vilified going up into the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Has a terrible game, although, and he did seem to have the yips. But, you know, hey, he got sacked six times. They were all over him.
Yes, they were.
He had a terrible game. The team as a whole had a terrible game. After the game, has a press conference in which apparently, you know, you think they would have the Super Bowl. You'd have your own room. Your own, like, four walls to do your press conference in, if you're, you know, the two quarterbacks at least would have the main stage. Apparently, it was like one big old, you know, pit of interviews happening simultaneously. So he hears one of the D-backs, I want to say, from the Broncos, crowing about,
Harris, yes.
Yeah, crowing about how they're the greatest defense of all time. And that, in addition to him apparently not taking losing well, set him off into what Rick Morrissey from the Sun-Times has called being a petulant child.
Yes.
So the narrative going up to the game was that he's a jerk. The narrative after the game is that he's a jerk. And you're believing, and I believe, that that's driven by race. But is that really what's happening? Is race really a daily thing? Or is race something that people gin up in order to make a buck?
I think it's both of those things. I think it's both of those things. I mean, I think I look at leading up to this game, when people would show put on display what they didn't like about Cam Newton, how is it any different than what Aaron Rodgers does when he gets into the end zone? But you wouldn't see that same kind of reaction. So to me, it absolutely was that. And it fits this narrative that people can still continue to plug into again and again and again. And it's a lot of people in the media. It's an easy button to hit. Who wants to work if you can do something that's easy? And if you have these storylines where you can just cram people into it, it makes your job so much easier.
Leaving out the narrative that Cam's bad going up to the game, leaving that aside, when he walked out of his press conference, apparently, you know, uttering just a few, you know, quick answers.
He's and pretty then, monosyllabic.
Yeah, okay. Don't hurt yourself. That's a tough word to say. He storms out, and the media goes on a firestorm saying, again, what a horrible way to act. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I don't know what Super Bowl parties were hinging on the post-game pressers. I know that the one we were at wasn't.
No, but no, you can't. No, I have to say, you can't. I don't think that you can do that. Because if, you know, all season long he was celebrating his successes, that's fine. But then in the moment when it's all gone downhill, you can't. So, you know, after every game he was showing up in like a bespoke suit, and then all of a sudden now he loses the Super Bowl and he's covered up inside of a hoodie, doesn't want to answer questions. And it does make the story about him at that point. Now, throughout this run up to the Super Bowl and Super Bowl, the 2 weeks leading up to it, I think that was really his first misstep. But people have already built in, and it's partly the media and it's partly just because I think racial perceptions, they've built in, you know, his actions fit into that storyline that they've already been feeding. So they're like, oh, whew, that was convenient.
Yeah, when he storms out of the press conference, I say to myself, I like that. And I don't think I'm alone. I think that
No, you're not.
The
alone.
Popularity, look at the two, you know, leading presidential candidates right now. They're we like them because they're outsiders. I don't know how you call Bernie Sanders an outsider. I don't even know how you call Donald Trump an outsider. He's certainly been integrated into the political scene with his cash and more so, you know, more than that for a long time. But be that as it may, that seems to be the prevailing, you know, zeitgeist, is that we like outsiders. So I like a guy that doesn't just do whatever is expected of him. And when he stuck it to the media, I realize I'm on the 50,000 watt blowtorch saying, I don't like the media, but I don't. I like when I imagine that the sports writers in the room had their stories all done. And they just needed a few cliched quotes out of the winning and losing quarterbacks to finish their stories, file them, upload them to the cloud, and get on, you know, chatting up, you know, some 25-year-old at the lobby bar. And when he didn't give those cliche quotes, they had to go back to put their nose to the grindstone and continue working. So they decided to change the story. Oh, okay, you're not going to give us the cliche quotes? Okay, we'll fix you. Now the story's about you.
Well, no, yeah.
And it continued to be about him.
I mean, I understand what you're saying by that, but at the same point, I think going into it, he was just penned as the bad guy. And then that just even fit it more so.
I miss something? Did he ever kill a dog or something?
No. He stole a laptop at the University of Florida. It's the flag.
That happens. That happens in college.
Does happen in college.
It's called a prank.
It's also called theft. But
we don't know the circumstances. It's alleged.
I don't know. I think he was released from the University of Florida for stealing a laptop.
Sean, can you confirm or deny what this gentleman is saying here? Can you have any knowledge of this story?
Help me out,
yes,
Sean.
He was released from the University of Florida.
Was he convicted of a crime?
He was convicted of that.
Okay.
Yes.
I sit corrected.
Go. Done.
I sit corrected.
Just like 50% of the athletes that play for Urban Meyer, they get convicted of something.
Now,
oh, that's Sean saying that.
Yes.
Urban, you know, we're going to get sued tonight. I have a feeling.
Right.
This is either our last time in the Allstate Showcase studio, or we will get sued, or both. Hey, Sean, is the glass bulletproof in here by any chance?
I've never witnessed any bullets coming towards the glass,
okay.
So I wouldn't know.
All right, good. We prefer
they
you
haven't
use.
Been tested.
Yeah.
Not that we're soliciting a test.
No tests. Not tonight. I think that's
it's
more
brick proof.
Roger Badish.
It's brick proof.
He says that from the comfort and security of the seventh floor.
Oh yeah, they can't throw it up seven floors.
Right.
Yeah.
If they can, Urban Meyer needs to sign them.
Now, have you seen it be brick proof? Have you seen a brick in action trying to come
somebody
in?
Actually did about 4 or 5 years ago. Tried to throw a brick through and actually smash the outer window because it's double paned.
What on earth could Bill and Wendy have been saying?
Maybe the brick thrower thought that they won the entire prize closet and they reneged.
Oh,
yeah, that's a prize hog.
That's
industry jargon right there.
Wow. Yeah.
You know.
But that was something, yeah.
All right, well, we're going to just hope for the best here and cross our fingers. But
I think you're fine.
This notion that, okay, so this guy was convicted of a crime.
Yes.
Bad cam.
Well, I think overall his thing is he is very flashy and he's singing when he's winning. And that rubs people, and I think particularly white fans and white journalists, that just rubs people the wrong way. Even though, like I had pointed out earlier, an Aaron Rodgers goes into the end zone, makes a similar
that
celebration.
That rubs me the wrong way.
If he runs and points to his fans, you would hear the ilk of a Joe Buck going, he just connects with his fans. They love him up here.
Yeah.
They love him.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of perception. And when anything happens, and in my opinion, there are really two hardcore, cut and dry colors in the United States. It's black and it's white. And when something happens on either side of the aisle, people really dig in before they would even really try to investigate the other side, what they're really saying, what they may even think about a particular situation. And they already build up their defense or they already build up their attack. And it's whether you're talking about a Cam Newton, it's whether you're talking about a Beyonce performing at a halftime show. And, you know, I just would like to see I think we just need to get to know each other a little better.
You're right. You're right. There has to be some meeting in the middle. Surely we have common ground that we can stand upon.
It has to be.
Somewhere there has to be.
Even though we sounded though we were lost for words for coming up for that, we're going to come up for that.
No, we are
going to
find it. We're going to locate
Absolutely.
It. 312-981-7200. It's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. It's Jones and Mike. That's why Roger Badish is quite possibly the best in the business.
You've been gushing about him.
I am. Well,
for the whole show.
Because he gives you the long view. Hey, next Friday, 50 degrees. You can make it, Chicago.
Yeah.
You can make it, America.
All you got to do is carry golf clubs in your trunk. Everything's going to be fine.
That's an optimist right there. he has the look and the sound and the perspective of an optimist. I appreciate that, Roger.
My pleasure, sir.
We're in for Matt Bubala. It's Jones and Mike. Usually we're on WGNplus.com. All of our shows are at jonesandmike.com. jonesandmike.com. But we'd prefer, I believe the management would prefer you get them from WGNplus.com. And tonight, sitting in the Allstate Showcase Studio for Matt Bubala, and trying to get to this very essence of whether or not we can actually love again, Jones.
Have we ever loved? That's really it.
We're just
trying to get the love. Never mind getting it back. You got to get it to lose it. But we're going to get it tonight.
Yeah, I'm assuming there was a period in our nation's great history, or its history period, where we did love.
No, we didn't.
But every day you wake up and there's another, now it's Kanye and Taylor.
Right.
They're fighting. Or, right. Boy, did you see Beyonce being militant? And it's like, no.
They know how to stoke the fires.
I didn't.
The powers
I actually
be.
I didn't. What did she do? Did she do something that I missed? I saw her looking fabulous.
Well.
And I saw her doing what I consider to be a ripoff of Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation.
I don't know that I would call it a ripoff.
No?
Although when it ended...
Her own spin.
I guess. But I don't know, when the whole thing ended, I kind of didn't... You know, it wasn't until 2 days later that I was hearing people talk about it, and they've still been talking about it all week, about how controversial it was.
It was controversial.
Like, the divisiveness. Well, they claim she came out and she had, a bandolier when you have the belt of bullets around you?
Okay.
She came out with a belt of bullets.
I just thought that was a stylish, maybe I should get my eyes
checked. I did,
too. That was just a stylish garment.
I did, too. It didn't look like anything that I wouldn't see, like... Axl Rose wearing on Guns N' Roses. Like, I could see him going on stage in one of those things.
And quite frankly, after the aforementioned Janet Jackson, I think the more garments on our Super Bowl performers, the better.
Right. I would agree with that. But, and then for the overall performance, then they were dressed like Black Panthers. I didn't immediately recognize that. And then the song itself
mm-hmm.
is some kind of homage to the Black Panther Party or something. That's kind of what I had been told. But at the end of the performance, I was like, I don't know. I mean, that was no more offensive to me than, or certainly less offensive to me than seeing someone performing in front of a Confederate flag, which I've seen countless numbers of times and seen defended countless numbers of times.
Well, you are partial to Lynyrd Skynyrd cover bands. There's no question.
And well, no, there is definitely a question about that. But I'm not. I'm done with the division.
Well, right.
I want to.
So, were these messages maybe that weren't that we aren't even capable of receiving? Is that possible?
Is it possible?
They were so subtle that we're not even the audience.
No, I just think there are people out there that go through life and they are just professionally outraged 24/7. And it's just, I couldn't believe that Roger Goodell would let someone go on with a belt of bullets. You know, there's people who are just ramped up 24/7 and they're looking for anything. And when you look for anything, you're going
to
find it.
You're bound to find it.
Exactly.
Interesting. So is Sean, I need the brother's perspective here, my friend. You're the first brother I saw. My eyes fell upon. You don't have to speak for everyone. Speak for just Sean.
Okay.
Is Did you see any of what people have been apparently up in arms about? Were these messages something that, like, I, as a 41-year-old white guy, just couldn't see?
To be honest, everybody has a different perception.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's music, dance, videos, get up, attire, you know, we see it with the NBA players.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people look at the fashion and say, oh, my God, how could they wear that? And the younger generation is like, oh, that's great. So, you know, you have the younger generation that probably looked at her performance and was, saw no problem at all, irregardless of race,
yeah,
or who they were. And then you have some other people that might be more conservative that looked at it and saw something that they thought might have been offensive to them.
Right.
And it's all about perception. So, you know, as long as we can sit down and talk about it, I don't have a problem. But when you start to defame someone's character,
sure,
then it becomes an issue, in my opinion.
It were, and there were other messages being represented in that Super Bowl halftime show. Is that correct?
I think, well, I saw the video the day before the Super Bowl. So I did see that.
The video for her song.
The video for the song.
Okay.
Where she makes mention, the video makes mention of Hurricane Katrina, and it makes mention of the hands up, you know, Black Lives Matter.
Did they include the Bush going, you're doing a hell of a job, Brownie?
No, they didn't do that.
That
would have been, talking about ruining a Beyonce song. You think of any Beyonce song, and then you just cut in with, like, you're doing a hell of a job, Brownie.
Well, that was, to me, that was his mission accomplished, like, faux pas of that whole crisis. Yeah. When he's like, hey, FEMA guy.
So I think
nobody can get in touch with FEMA right now. You're doing a hell of a job, just like we planned it, Brownie.
Most of the controversy.
Or the Kanye and Mike Myers. When they did, when Kanye went off
on
script,
MTV, yeah.
That was that was great. That was great. George Bush hates black people.
But Mike, I think most of the controversy came from people actually trying to combine the video. The video could be more divisive, and offensive than the actual performance on the football field.
Yeah,
like if you watch the video and you see the points that she's trying to make, then you could say, okay, I can see how somebody might take that as being offensive. But the performance at the Super Bowl,
and Bruno Mars apparently was caught lip syncing. I'm offended by that.
Well, aren't they all?
I thought everybody lip synced at the Super Bowl.
You should not. No.
No, they all do. Like,
was
Red
Lady
Chili
Gaga?
Peppers didn't even play instruments when they were on stage.
They weren't even plugged in. I know. That's offensive. Did she?
I don't know. I
mean, she didn't lip sync.
They all do.
Reported, allegedly, Whitney Houston's.
Yes.
No, that's the truth.
And that is the truth.
Yeah.
That was Whitney Houston's performance years ago that everybody gushes over.
The Star Spangled Banner that she did?
Yes. Yeah. That was a lip sync.
Oh, no.
Allegedly. That's what we've been told.
That's right. You can't besmirch a woman of her stature who is no longer with us.
Is there anything
not
wrong
here to defend
with lip syncing, though? Because you still have to do it in the studio.
I'm typically a fan of Memorex over live.
Okay.
But this show right here is proving that sometimes you should record things and not do it live without a net.
Yes, that is very
Roger Badish should be live, and the rest of this should be taped, vetted, and edited. All right, well, so a bandolier, maybe poor choice. That is a little bit, maybe a little bit controversial, especially here in Chicago, you know? You're just kind of sensitive to that sort of thing. But, you know, did she do, like, who was the guy in the 68 Olympics that did the gloved black hand, you know, in the air or whatever?
Bob something.
Right. And so that was a very symbolic moment. So symbolic, I can't remember his name, unfortunately. But I remember the reason why he did it. But this seems so subtle. This seemed like nobody should even be upset about it. We have done, there's a crack team of researchers here. Emphasis on research here at 720 WGN. They have come up with some lists. They've dug up some lists for us of stuff white people like and stuff black people like.
So, and we want to go through this list because this, with the idea that we're going to bring everyone together.
That's right.
Have a discussion.
We're going to learn.
Perfect.
Because clearly we need to find some middle ground here.
This will go over swimmingly.
Well, yes, it absolutely will. And so I want to get your thoughts, because I got to tell you that the stuff white people like, that list, magnifique. It is so spot on.
Okay.
It's sickening to me.
And it is?
It makes me sick how predictable I am. But then this other list, I have no way of knowing if this is true or not. And frankly, half of it outrages me.
Okay.
Outrages me. The number here is 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text. Sean has marching orders to send the angriest calls to the top of the heap. The angriest ones, Sean, please, by all means. It's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. Okay. 720 WGN is Jones and Mike, 312-981-7200. The fallout from the big game. It has continued all week. It has continued all week, but we have to find some common ground. There is a list that was delivered to us by the research department here at 720 WGN of stuff white people like that is so spot on, I feel like I wrote this myself. Jones, do you agree with any of the things on this list? Stuff white people like. And I'm hoping that when we give the flip side of it, we'll find common ground.
Okay.
Do you like roller derby?
Do I like roller derby? I don't. I've gone to roller derby a number of times. My cousin is on a very successful roller derby team in Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. She's part of the Windy City Rollers. Do I like it? I'll tell you what, I've gone there and had a great time, but watching it, I'm actually more confused. You know, normally when I watch a sport, I can figure it out. Watching roller derby, I know less about it having watched
it. It's like curling or it's like cricket where you're like, huh? What's going on?
I'll say this. I don't know that I love it, but I've gone to it and I have family members that participate.
Yeah, so you're so white. You're so white. Conan O'Brien.
I love Conan O'Brien.
You're white. TED conferences, like those TED talks.
You know what?
Things that white people like.
No, but I know when I talk to like friends and family, if they know anyone that has ever done a TED talk, like one of those local TEDx things, they go crazy for it. They think TED Talks are the most amazing thing. I don't quite get it. I don't get the appeal of it or that it's some kind of it's the next level of public discourse.
I learn all sorts of stuff from my TEDx viewing.
I see. No, I'm not a TEDxer.
All right. Okay. All right. Camping. You're going to say no to that.
No way.
You're a Four Seasons kind of guy.
Out.
Yeah. You need 5-star. It's in your contract. It's in your rider. That you have to be put up in 5-star accommodations.
Oh, there's no way. Yes, there's no way I would camp. I've done it once, and that's it.
Yeah. So dogs. I'm gonna go little rapid fire here. Dogs. You love. You're white. Yoga. Do you like yoga?
I think I've done it before, and I think I should continue to do it. I think that's more of a female thing that people would love it. But no, I don't. I have to say I don't love it.
Yeah, okay.
I've done it. And I always think I should do more of it.
Yo, it feels good when you do downward dog.
Yes, it does.
This one, this outrages me. It was number 11 on this list. I don't know who came up with this list of stuff white people like, but it's Asian girls, which who doesn't love Asian girls?
You know what, though? That's a thing that I've observed with other girls that I work with at the office. They have said to me on multiple occasions, to me, I could see you being with an Asian girl.
Why?
I don't know what it is, but I know that that's discussed, that white guys and Asian girls make a nice pairing. People always see that. And I've seen it discussed
Beautiful children.
Right. So, and I mean, I've been to, my sister lived in Japan for like a year and a half. I went over there. They were beautiful. So I love Asian girls.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do think that there is, in people's minds, there is this marriage between white dudes and Asian girls.
Mad Men, I think, even though I don't participate in this, stuff white people like, Mad Men.
Yeah. I've never really watched it.
The show.
I've never really watched it, but I know that it's popular, but I don't know that. I don't know. I wouldn't look at that and go exclusively like, oh my God, that's such a white thing. Like, I would think, like, I'm surprised, like, things like manicured lawns and stuff aren't coming
out. All right. Now you're just, that's just being crass. Now you're being crass. Downton Abbey's got to be, like, the Mad Men equivalent, right?
That's yeah, I would see that as being, like, a thing that, like, white people really get crazy over.
This made the list, and it fits in perfectly, like, hand in glove with this conversation. Being offended. Being offended. Stuff white people like.
Yeah, I think white people definitely like to have a cause. There's no doubt. They like to have a cause, and they like to have a cause that exhausts them.
Which ties in perfectly to the topic we'll be talking about next hour. But yeah, the cause célèbre is something that we like. It seems that we gravitate toward that. Being offended made the list of stuff white people like. The flip side of this, we asked the research staff to come up with, and I don't know where they came up with this. Sean, I'm going to need you, buddy. And again, you got to just speak for Sean. You can't speak for everyone, but just speak for you. And this is under the heading of stuff black people like. Okay? Checking in at number 18 on this list is mega churches. Is that something that is accurate in any way of stuff black people like?
At this point in time, I would say that's pretty fair to put that on the list.
Now, I even have to say I've been to a mega church. And there was this girl that I worked with years ago. She invited me. It was this Puerto Rican girl, and she invited me to this Christmas celebration. She's like, oh, you got to come to this thing. My family's going to be there. You should come check it out. And I went there, and it was a predominantly black megachurch. And their church was closed. It was out in the west side. So what they were doing was they were holding their ceremony at the AMC Theater on Western Avenue. Uh-huh. And if you couldn't get into the main theater where the preacher was, there was other theaters that were broadcasting the event.
Sean's shaking his head. Yes, you've sat in a theater watching a church service down the hall.
So yeah, so I didn't know any of this. So I showed up to the event, and it's me, like all of my J crew. I walk in, and there's like guys in like purple and lime green suits, and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And there, everybody's like watching on the theaters, the whole celebration. Well, I was working for another radio station at the time, and they had some affiliation to this church, like doing advertising, and we. They would run ads for them, and they knew that the other girl that was a member of the church had brought me along, and they invited me up. I did not know this was going to happen, to speak.
Oh, as one of the visitors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Like testify or something.
I don't know what I was supposed to do, but all of a sudden, like, and there's bright lights everywhere, and I'm walking down the steps of this theater of this like mega church in a movie theater, and I walk up there, and I'm standing next to my friend, and the pastor's, like, doing his thing, and then he's like, and we're going to turn, and, it, you know, like, we're going to turn to Brother Jones for a couple of words. Brother Jones! And he hands the microphone over to me, and I just have this electric moment where all these lights are shining
on
me, and the flap sweat, and I know that my mug is being broadcast on all these other movie screens.
What did you say?
Theater. I didn't. I was just like,
praise the Lord.
Great to be here. God is good. And, you know, it's nice that we can all come together on a Sunday. And he could just see that I was like drowning. And I'm half looking at him like, why would you do this to me?
So
I have had the megachurch experience.
Is that like an ambush thing that happens?
No, it's something that's pretty much done.
Okay.
You have to speak. You are the visitor representative.
Yes.
One is chosen at every service. I think mega churches really have become the thing right now because the services are shorter, number one, and the music is better.
Okay.
And that might play into some other stereotypes, but shorter services, great music.
And then they tried to do an altar call with me.
Oh, good Lord.
It was
How did that go?
It was funny because I wasn't really prepared for it. And then people were like asking me to come up. And then my friend who brought me was like, no. People were asking leading up to me, like, are you saved? Are you saved? And I was going, I was panicking. All I could think to say was, I'm fine.
So there were other members like walking out asking you
Yeah, they didn't put me on the spot right in that moment. But later they tried to do it. It was a crazy experience. I loved it. It was like, I was totally unexpected. I didn't love being put on the mic without knowing that it was coming, but the rest of it. So I can say, how many things have I shot down on the white person list? But the mega church experience?
Yeah, you're
Brian
one for
Jones
one.
Has had it.
You're one for one.
Well, I've had it. You know, Brian, you have to realize we love the microphone.
I'm telling you.
So we expect everybody else to love the microphone.
I know. Yeah, I just needed to be a little bit more prepped on that. I would have been ready.
There's something on this list that, I don't know, maybe you'll go two for two, Jones. Hot sauce.
Now, see, okay, that was when the whole thing went down with
stuff
Beyonce.
Black people like, hot sauce.
See, I didn't know what that was either. I didn't know that that would be on a list. And then when people were talking about the Beyonce performance, when she's singing, she did some line at the end. And she's like, I got my hot sauce in my purse. And I was like, what?
That's a metaphor.
So I Googled that, and it came up number four on some list of walking around with hot sauce in your purse. And I thought, well, okay, that may be true, but there ain't no way in hell that Beyonce is walking around hot sauce in a $5,000 Fendi bag. She may have a handler, and she may snap her thumbs and go, Bobo, hot sauce,
yeah,
now!
Yeah, sriracha.
But I can't imagine that that's real.
This says here, Sean, this can't be true. This can't be real. It says, if you're having a black person over for dinner, do not feel the need to go out and buy a bottle of hot sauce, because black people enjoy hot sauce so much, they more than likely will carry their favorite brand with them at all times. That can't be true.
No, it's not true.
Beyonce doesn't have hot sauce in her purse.
No.
Why would she say that then? Then what was that a call to? It's such a weird thing to say.
what was the symbolism there then that we're missing?
I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, and I remember the lyrics to the song, I think she at the end of that she said swag. So I think she was kind of referring to her swag being like hot sauce. Perception
you
and
got Google
understanding.
Fooled you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't Google any phrase now. There's so many billions of terabytes of info out there. Somebody has already created something around that phrase.
Oh, that makes
all right
so much clearer. I'm glad we talked.
I feel like we made some progress here. I feel like we made a lot of progress. .720 WGN. It's Jones and Mike in for Matt Bubala. He is he's hit the road early tonight. I'm glad for him. He's a man about town.
Well, he was in earlier work.
He was in for Patty. Patty's in San Antonio. And it's like musical chairs. Ordinarily, all of our shows are at WGNplus.com, and we invite you to check those shows out there. I am thrilled, Jones, because I am getting a free burrito from Chipotle. Chipotle is trying to, they're trying to bribe us to come back. They did a social media campaign earlier this week. And it was like one of my friends like shared it and said like till 5 p.m. Central today, you have to text rain check to 888-222. And they'll send you a free burrito. They won't mail it to
they'll
you.
Ship it to you.
Like that's how
by drone.
Pristine their food is now after the E. coli thing. They can actually mail through the USPS their burritos. No, they will send you a certificate. I don't know. I'm going to get a code and an email or a text or something. And I didn't even for a second hesitate. The company that had people, they had to shut down like 43 of their restaurants across the country. The company that almost killed people with this E. coli somewhere in their, you know, logistical supply chain, E. coli permeated and sickened people. Even with that knowledge, when you offer me a free burrito from Chipotle, I'm like, yeah, where do I sign up? How do I get on that spam list?
You're not going to change your tastes or your habits.
I can't believe that after an E. coli breakout, I'm not like even hesitating. It just takes a social media post and a phone number. And apparently some poor SOB had 888-2222. So he was getting inundated with with texts demanding free burritos. But that's a story for another day. He'll be changing his number. So they've rehabbed their image or allegedly. And I'm going to find out. I'll let you know. You can get a meatless. You're the vegan. You can get a meatless burrito. If I offered you a free Chipotle, no meat, would you hesitate for even a second?
No, not really. No, I don't have those things to worry about. You're the one being the meat eater that has to think about those things. Like when we go tailgating to the Bears game, mm-hmm. and I go to cook one of my veggie burgers, and you don't know what to do because there's no blood in it.
How do you know
what it's
done?
That you're not supposed to eat it. When I heard that you're not supposed to eat meat, right there is that's the tell. When you're sitting there looking at something without blood in it, and you don't know how to cook it,
it's not even blood. It's like hemoglobin or something. But that's beside the point. It's the red juice is there to let us know that it's done.
It's disgusting.
Yours, it only gets more grayer. Is that when you know that the vegan burgers are done?
Yes.
They start out gray. They get grayer.
No, they get like a darker gray. Or if it's light brown, it gets a darker brown.
And then I typically announce to the passersby in the south lot at the Bears game that we're throwing veggie burgers on so that a couple of meatballs will come over and harass you.
Exactly. So you can play up your man card.
They'll do the
more masculine.
They'll do wash the dishes, dry the dishes with you into a flatbed truck nearby.
Right.
So be that as it may. You will not hesitate, or you will not accept my offer of a free Chipotle meatless burrito.
I wouldn't hesitate when you go meat free. There, you have less to worry about. It's just
That's the thing. I guess the E. coli outbreak probably came from some earthen vegetable like a celery or a cilantro or something along those lines. It didn't come from meat.
It could.
They're saying.
Okay. I was not aware of that. I mean, I don't know really about how E. coli breaks down. Although, mm-hmm. in terms of talking about breakdown, this week I checked out this documentary. Cowspiracy.
The movie that is apparently enticing people to go vegan. It isn't one of those like exposés of, it's not like, you know, Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, you know, 2.0.
One duck gets his head chopped off. That's it.
And frankly, he had it coming.
So now, and I got you to watch it as well.
Yeah, and I felt duped. I thought this was an expose about the homoerotic exploits of notorious radio morning guy Mancow Muller.
Well,
but it was not about that cow. It was about real cows.
The bovine. So now you had a chance. Okay, you watch. So this was interesting to me.
It's an hour and 30 minutes. It's an hour and 30 minutes, this movie, because Cowspiracy. You could check it out on Netflix, I'm being told.
It's only on Netflix.
Well, and YouTube
as well.
It's
on YouTube, but in terms of its like paid distribution, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
So I check this thing out, and I'm telling you, when I go around and I'm telling everybody about this thing, I am getting such blowback about it. People don't even want to see it. And there's information in there that can save lives.
Save Earth. That's what it's really about.
People don't even want to change their habits that they would even think of altering their routine for a second.
It's like we're talking about actual activism versus symbolic activism. It's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. It's Jones and Mike, 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text. We're in the Allstate Showcase studio talking about this movie that it actually just came out recently, right? In January, early January, I want to say.
I'm not sure when it came out, to be honest with you, but it was just something that I had just come across.
So it's called Cowspiracy.
Yes.
And so how you're the vegan, I'm the carnivore, avowed carnivore. But right. I got to say, this thing has kind of made me rethink my position.
It doesn't it, though? It's one of those things.
Yeah, give me the elevator pitch on Cowspiracy.
Well, no, the idea of Cowspiracy, it's the idea is that there is this animal agriculture industry, and there is so much energy and resources that goes into it that people don't even realize. People who are maybe even on the left side of the aisle, people that would be part of conservation organizations, nature organizations, they either don't know about this or they're bought off and they're not going to address it. But the overall idea is the pollutants and toxins that are the CO2 that is emitted through simply raising cattle. All of the resources, all of the water, all of the grains that are, and even in terms of even the flatulence of the cattle themselves.
Yeah, that's the thing that most people would bring up when you bring up like, hey, cows are worse than cars. People go, oh yeah, methane from cows.
Right.
But it's the other aspects of feeding those cows that really is crushing.
Exactly. And it was amazing, the stats that they came up with. And now I'm like trying to talk to everybody about this. There was an organization that did research and found that 51% of the pollutants that are emitted into our atmosphere are a result of agriculture, of animal agriculture.
Yeah, that was cited as World Watch, I want to say, in the flick Cowspiracy.
I believe that was the organization. So the creators of this film, as they were going around, and this is what stood out to me, as they were going around and reaching out to organizations like the Sierra Club, like Greenpeace, to talk about this, those organizations didn't even want to address the issue of animal agriculture. They just wanted to go into the pattern of fossil fuels, cars, mm-hmm. and airplanes. It was the rehearsed line that they've trained everybody on. Now, all of a sudden, once they got off that script, once there was more information to consume, they either weren't prepared to deal with it, or financially, some people are postulating, they're being bought out to not deal with it. Okay. And that was so eye-opening to me.
Yeah, and so the guy, the documentarian behind this, whose name is escaping me at the moment, it's immaterial, he's not really all that remarkable. However,
Kip Anderson.
Kip, okay, Kip, great name. Anderson. Yeah, you expect a guy named Kip to be doing this. He starts off saying, you know, I really wanted to save the earth, so I started taking 14-second showers, and I sold my car, and I rode a bike everywhere. And I did all of these remarkable, you know, life-altering things. I changed my behavior because I felt so passionately about saving the earth. And then I found out that it really is a minuscule little fraction in the big pie chart of climate change, which even that is kind of polarizing. There are people... And I am not convinced, because in this film they go, oh yeah, we're going through a period that is so devastating, we haven't seen it in 65 million years. It's like, oh, so this has happened before without humans around, you're saying? And they always kind of reference that. But even taking that aside, let's just assume that climate change is real and it's caused by human activity. This guy Kip points out that even guys like Al Gore, in his, you know, award-winning flick An Inconvenient Truth, didn't even discuss at all the agricultural impact on the environment.
Yes, and how it dwarfs cars. It dwarfs it, and it blew me away. And the thing that really, as I've mentioned before on this and on previous broadcasts here at WGN, I'm a passionate non-voter. I believe that, no, I'm a passionate non-voter.
I think that no one should vote.
Well, no, really. I mean, to me, I think everybody's bought and paid for. You can sit there and get all emotional about any particular issue, but nothing really changes. Then when I saw this documentary and I thought, oh my God, you look at these numbers and these environmental organizations don't even want to address it. Like, just simply not even that they're not even doing anything, but they can't even answer questions about this particular topic. It just spoke volumes to me.
Yeah, this guy goes around and he tries to get interviews with Greenpeace. They ignore him. He starts off his documentary. One of the first interviews he does is with a guy from the Sierra Club.
Yes, Bruce Hamilton.
We have Bruce right here. It's kind of a long clip, but since they couldn't join us tonight,
we did reach out. Yes, we did reach out to them, and we were not able to get them on the broadcast, unfortunately.
Yeah, so we'll roll Bruce and let him speak for himself.
You know, the world's climate scientists tell us that the highest safe level of emissions would be around 350 parts per million of carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases, mm-hmm. in the atmosphere. We're already at 400. They tell us that the sort of safest we could hope to do without having perilous implications as far as drought, famine, human conflict, major species extinction would be about a 2 degrees Celsius increase
Sounds
in temperature.
Very official.
We're rapidly approaching that, and with all the built-in carbon dioxide that's already in the atmosphere, we're easily going to exceed that. So on our watch, we are facing the next major extinction of species on the Earth that we haven't seen since the time of the dinosaurs disappearing. You know, when whole countries go underwater because of sea level rise, when whole countries find that there's so much drought that they can't feed their population, and as a result they need to desperately migrate to another country or invade another country, I mean, we're going to have climate wars in the future.
And what about livestock and animal agriculture?
Yeah, he looked at Kip like he
yes.
Like he just pulled a rabbit out of a hat. Yeah. His eyes glazed over and he was like a deer in headlights.
Well, and if the cut went a little bit longer, you hear the deputy executive director, this Bruce Hamilton, go, what about it?
Yeah.
He was like not prepared to answer it at all. So, when I'm watching all of these people, I go, "Oh my God, this is further proof of my non-voting stance."
Oh God.
Everyone's bought and paid for. Even the environmental groups are bought and paid for. And when I'm watching this, the thought came to my head, okay, well, what can you do about it? Not everybody is going to go around and just make documentary films about it. So when I started speaking out to other people about the documentary, like, you just
got
to see it.
Yeah.
You just got to see it and just tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you think of the numbers that they crunch. The response that I got from people was, this isn't one of those movies that's going to make me want to stop eating red meat, because I don't want to eating red meat.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable to me. And it caused me to wonder, what changes would you be willing to make if you could save the world? If you could end hunger? If you could put a stop to wars?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's just crazy talk, what you're saying there.
No, but I mean, well.
And so the main themes of this movie, Cowspiracy, the two takeaways are that for a pound of beef to be produced, for a 1 pound of beef, I just bought 232 of those pounds.
I know
I have a whole deep freezer, but it was like thousands of gallons of water going in to make that 1 pound of beef.
I think they estimated.
So in California. That's in drought right now, yes. Famous drought, and they have a ton of cows there. The drought is, you know, this movie makes the case that it's being fueled by the beef industry. Now, this is something that people get sued and even killed in this movie.
That's what they talked about in Brazil.
That's why I asked about the bulletproof glass here, Sean, and I'm going to need you to walk me in my car tonight, please, if you don't mind.
No, but I mean, over 1,100 people have died in Brazil who are part of these protests. They just like disappear. But the stat that hit me the hardest was, of all the grain that is used to feed these cattle that go onto our dinner plates, that grain could feed the entire world. So if we would stop eating one thing, the rest of the world could eat another.
Yeah, you're taking all the fun out of my free Chipotle burrito. The E. coli threat aside,
well,
I was looking forward to it.
Can you just do this as a final burrito, a final send-off?
A ceremonial final Chipotle?
Yes, a ceremonial Chipotle.
I have my hot sauce in my purse for a reason.
You do not.
I need to use it at my Chipotle.
Stop. You can use it on, you can use hot sauce on chips.
You're right.
You can use it on a number of
So
things,
you're
vegetables.
Saying this, and this movie was so dense with so many statistics, and I got to say that if I had to fault the guy, this Kip character, I would say I wasn't adequately seeing the sourcing of these statistics very easily. It wasn't readily apparent to me, the sourcing. So I would say go back and touch up your footnotes, because the statistics are so mind-blowing that it seemed impossible to believe. Impossible to believe. That you're sitting here saying, if we just stopped eating meat, we could feed everybody. Who's not for that?
But people aren't for that because they do not want to change their patterns. Like, okay, you have For over five years now, I've not eaten meat. That's been a topic that we've discussed numerous times. Would you, after seeing this film, would you think that you would give up? Do you foresee yourself giving up meat?
All right, I'm on the hot seat. All right, we're talking about the movie that's causing people to go vegan, Cowspiracy. 312-981-7200. It's Jones and Mike on 720 WGN. It's Jones and Mike in for Matt Bubala. You get our shows at WGNplus.com ordinarily, and they invited us in tonight into the Allstate Showcase Studio, and quite grateful for that opportunity. I have to say, you're killing my buzz over my free Chipotle burrito, Jones.
Well, just make it a goodbye burrito, and then it will have more meaning.
Now, you saw and then enticed me, duped me, frankly, into watching the movie Cowspiracy, which makes the case that, and not a case that I necessarily am willing to endorse, especially when I saw the ramifications of people who have supported this. And as I was watching it, I was thinking of the cattleman lawsuit against Oprah years ago. Chicago's very own. And I thought, oh man, I can't believe this guy wants to talk about this. And then they talk about how there was a sister down in the Brazilian rainforest who was arguing that agribusiness down there was devastating, and she turned up. She got a Brazilian necktie.
Yes, she did.
Is there a Brazilian necktie?
There is now.
Yeah, she got it. So I'm concerned, but this movie makes the case that my beef is I'm wrecking the world. I'm to blame. The 232 pounds of beef that I just bought for my family. You're guilting me, man.
Well, and here's the thing. I've never been preachy. Look, I'm what I refer to being myself as a grocery store vegan, meaning when I go out and I buy my own food, I eat vegan. Now, if I go to someone's house and they say, oh, hey, we know you don't eat meat. We ordered you a cheese pizza. I'll go with the flow. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to overlook or toss aside someone's kindness. They don't have to feed me. They don't have to think about my dietary choices. So when they do, I'm very respectful.
You're gracious about it, and you're not, you do not have a holier than thou. Even though I bust your chops, like, oh, here he's going to do the vegan thing. You do not do that.
No, this was just a thought-provoking documentary, and it was mainly. Again, the question that I came back to when I was watching this is, what changes would you be willing to make if you could save or change the world? Now, I'll just put it out there.
Hmm.
You know, Roger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I just wanted to ask, because Mike and I have discussed this. I'm just curious. What would you give up? Well, first of all, do you eat meat?
Yes, I do.
You do.
I shouldn't, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because it upsets my stomach.
Okay.
In other words, I have to start taking probiotics, and I've gone through a lot over the last couple of years. I've had bladder cancer, have surgery, chemo.
Okay,
and so certain things now, diet wise, I really shouldn't eat.
But you still have meat.
Yeah, just had a roast beef and pepperoni sandwich earlier this evening.
That's how much we love our meat.
how often would you
make us sick? Processed or otherwise.
Yeah.
Now, how often would
you? I love you, man.
How often would you eat meat in a week? Or do you eat it every day?
No, not every day.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Maybe every other day, I'll have some form of meat.
Okay. Now I'm just curious. Now, when I was going around at the office when I brought this up, this film, people did not even, they did not even want to hear me talk about the movie because they thought, well, if I see this thing, this is going to cause me to change my behavior. And they did not want to do that. Like any kind of end result was secondary to behavioral change. Now, I'm just curious if you went through your own research and you saw, wow, if I eliminated meat from my diet and everybody else did that, like we could use that grain and we could feed the world, would you be willing to give up meat? Would you be willing to change your behavior if it would have that overall reward?
Because
it's kind of tough. It's one of those things where it's kind of if a tree falls in the forest, you know, who's, you know, who hears
right.
it?
Couple issues with this.
Okay.
One, yes, I would.
Okay.
Two, along the supply line, and this has been for decades now, as we have tried to feed the world. But along the supply line, there is greed and corruption.
That's true.
And
yes.
The grain that we would save, and a lot of cows would be happy, I think, maybe, they would go hungry too. Nothing worse than a hungry cow. But the grain that we would save would not get to the people that needed it.
Yeah,
and that's my concern, and I'm not using that as an excuse to go, well, since it never make it, I might as well use it.
Right.
Right.
Right, and that's true. In terms of, like, the supply chain efforts and getting that grain to those people, that's absolutely mm-hmm. a very real issue.
Right.
You have political figures, warlords who around the world, a world that we don't even know about, really,
mm-hmm.
there are those people that are in charge that would really prevent that from happening. But I'm kind of what I'm really wondering.
But
is
back to your fantasy land, Jones.
Well, no, what I'm saying
I don't
is
think
like
it's a fantasy land. I think he's got legitimate reasons there.
It's funny that all of a sudden, if we as a country then had this huge public discourse about this, what changes could be made and could be improved upon? I don't think that the average citizen would know that. The chemicals and the pollutants that are emitted through animal agriculture, the process of animal agriculture, outweigh all of shipping and cars and planes by 3 or 4 times. I don't even think that people know that. So if all of a sudden you got that message out there and put out that idea, like, boy, okay, warlords aside, if we could get that grain out there to everybody, everybody would have full bellies. Getting to that point is a whole other issue, but the changes that could be made just with that awareness, I think would be incredible. And when I'm bringing this topic up, you know, Roger, you're open to discussing this.
I'm open to discuss, but that's the kind of person that I am. Yeah. I still think that he should go and do not just like one Chipotle, like you're suggesting, like one for the road.
Yeah.
I think it's a world tour.
You're right. I should be able to have a Chipotle on every continent. I like where you're going.
Every country, not just one per continent. You'd be done in a week.
How many? That's like 220 burritos I can have.
What else you got to do with your time? Come on.
Badish, you have to check this movie out. It's called Cowspiracy. It's at times hard watching. It's a lot of stats. They do a decent job on what I presume to be a pretty low budget documentary. Of making the graphics and whatnot entertaining. But the statistics are so mind-blowing about how much goes into my Chipotle beef burrito.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fajita burrito, actually, if you must know. That it does make you feel guilty. It does make me feel real guilty. But I'm going to push through because that's the kind of American I am.
Oh, come on.
Right.
Now.
You don't give up. You're a can-do kind of person.
Nobody likes a quitter.
That's right.
Jeez.
No, it does make you think, dude. Like, can I just do something like like I do with the six-pack rings where I clip them so the dolphins won't get them around their noses? Can I do something less drastic than giving up beef?
But if you gave up beef, then everybody would have food in their bellies.
Yeah,
isn't that goal?
You keep claiming that.
Enough?
But then what about the cows? We would have an overabundance of cows.
Well, we would go through a period where there would be a generation of cows that would gradually die off.
They
live about as long as a dog, so you get through about a dog's life worth of cows, and everything is fine.
Good point there. Jones and Mike, 720 WGN. Jones and Mike, 720 WGN, 312 981-7200 is the number here. We're talking about the movie Cowspiracy. Apparently, Cowspiracy is making people go vegan, which, you know, them's fighting words in Chicago. Lars from South Bend, by the way, Chicagoland. Lars from South Bend says he's off to White Castle to get rid of some of them their cows. Sliders, yum, Lars writes. He texted in.
And I have just want to know, yeah. Did Chick-fil-A pay for that documentary?
Yeah, you know, those two cows on their billboards, they're the ones that are going to profit the most from this.
No, well, they do go, I mean, when they're going through the documentary, they do bang on about the livestock thing a lot. But they do also show animals and animals like chickens, ducks, things of that nature. Other just general agricultural farming of animals. The cattle ranching associations, I think, are the biggest, so they draw the most attention. But they did talk about, you know, they did address the other animals that we consume.
Oh, okay. All right. So chickens, for those wanting chicken sandwiches instead of a beef sandwich.
Yeah, I like you're trying to just come up with, I think they even like tried to work in like, would tofu work? Could we just go tofu instead?
You know, I've heard that those that are herding the tofu mm-hmm. on tofu farms mm-hmm. are very, they're dicey characters.
They're kind of sketchy.
Yeah, really. And I'm concerned about that. I'm surprised they haven't put the tofu into that documentary.
Baddish, because you are not taking this seriously.
Yeah, he's mocking
me. I am trying to change. This was the whole, my whole goal.
I am taking it seriously.
I was going to bring the races together. Yeah. I was going to change everybody's diet.
Yeah.
Just wait to see what I'm doing at 4 o'clock the next hour.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's going to get
and
real
then
serious
throw
then.
Throw it all away.
So the statistics are mind-blowing in this documentary about the impact of raising and the energy and the effort and the resources and the devastation that goes into raising even just a pound of beef, all the water that goes into not only feeding the cow, but the grain and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This character goes around and tries to get meetings with Greenpeace, and they shut him out, and then he talks to Sierra Club, and he meets with all of these organizations that you think would be on point with this guy's message. And he finds that they just want to talk about cars and stuff
fossil
like that,
fuel,
and they won't
fossil.
Even acknowledge the agricultural industry as being a culprit in this. We have another clip from one person who did meet with him.
Yes. So they went out, and it was actually, funny enough, it was from the Animal Agricultural Alliance. It was a woman, a spokesperson, Emily Meredith.
Yeah, check this out. Let's see if we can roll that clip there, Sean, from Emily. He's being lambasted by someone apparently at the moment, who's
hear the word GMOs and that's a really scary term. And again, I think agriculture has kind of struggled to explain what that means. But in reality, what we've done is to use technology to make advancements in how we raise crops and how we raise animals. We're not going to feed the world going back to how it was 100 years ago, where all the animals were, you know, pasture fed. We didn't just move animals inside and just implement these large vertically integrated systems because of sustainability. It certainly reduces the environmental impact while improving animal well-being and food
She's
safety.
Done this before. She
so the,
good.
The saying that animals like it just as much being inside, say the chickens and the cows like being just as much inside as pasture grass-fed?
In a lot of cases, it's been a significant improvement in their well-being, just in terms of the amount of care they can get, individualized care.
And then you see the video.
Does the meat
dairy
industry ever support or donate to environmental nonprofits?
Yeah, this is good.
I don't know that I would want to comment on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we're not answering that.
We would know what they donate to or don't donate to.
Does meat dairy industry ever support or donate to, say, Greenpeace?
Again, I don't know that I would feel comfortable.
This guy's very good. See, Kip is really good at the gotchas.
Good. He's good at the gotchas. And the woman that you hear in the background is the president and CEO of the Animal Agricultural Alliance. Again, it's a pro-livestock lobby. Her name is Kay Smith. But that really got the hair on the back of my neck standing up when you see someone saying, like, the answer should, it's a yes or it's a no. You are a pro-livestock lobbying group. are you buying off the Sierra
that
Club
sounded
or
like
Greenpeace?
A yes
or no? It is yeah, a that yeah. to me that's a yes.
I'm not real that's good at reading yes. between the lines, but
and that's the thing. That was even more than me coming away from this documentary and going to friends and family going, you should see this. Think about the facts. Would you change your habits? What have you? I looked at this and went, further proof why I want to step back from this humanoid box that we live in.
Uh-huh.
You're now even having like what should be advocates for animal rights and what have you. They're being bought off by government and pseudo government organizations.
Allegedly. Allegedly, you're making big allegations here.
Well, that's why I know you'll always clean up my messes.
Brian's in Harwood Heights. Brian has a thought on this topic, I'm being told. Brian, you're on WGN. Okay. Here we go. Brian, you got us. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? I've never heard of you guys before. I've been listening to WGN for years and years and years. And in talking about this particular topic, especially when it comes to food, I get really kind of a little disturbed. And here's why. Because, you know, people, they want to be vegetarians and that. Now, humans have flat teeth, and they were supposed to be vegetarians. However, it changed over the course of history and evolution. And then when what happens here is that now you got this big vegetarian movement going on, you know, to not eat meat. And here's the deal. You know what? When you eat potatoes, you eat carrots, you eat peas, you have soybeans, you have lima beans, you have all these lentils, you have all these things. Guess what? When they're planted in the field, what are they fertilized by? Animals.
See? So we need them.
That's correct. It's part of the cycle. And you're going to get it, whether you like it or not.
Now, don't they have some sort of chemicals that could take care of that and replace all the cows?
Do you really want to put chemicals in there?
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Okay.
I'm on your side, Brian. You want to keep the cows, same as me.
Yeah. Because, like Roger said, you know what? You're going to have, more animals on the planet. That's why you have these deer kill-offs and elk kill-offs and stuff like that. You know, and it's great to see the bison come back. But if they come back too bison. Strong, I mean, you know, that's going to happen a little bit there, too. What? You know what I mean? It all feeds into its own ecological system.
And the other thing is the cows, if you have too many cows, they're adding to the breakdown of our atmosphere now. Their flatulence.
No,
this has been proven.
The methane gas.
The methane gas.
Yes, and it has, and it's funny. Everyone laughs off, but it does really have a massive effect.
I imagine it does, but we don't know to what degree and what extent.
Well,
one group will say this, another group will say that, and you know, you just don't know. The left doesn't know the right, and the right don't know the left. Correct.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's like here you're stuck in the middle and you're on a fence and it's like, which way do I go? And
well, I guess you would go to whichever way you feel it speaks to you most.
Yeah. But I'm not going to become a total vegan because I love grilled steaks and barbecue ribs and pork chops and stuff. You understand?
I understand. No, I understand it's a matter of taste.
And everything, too. Right?
Absolutely.
Eat it all.
I understand. Right. I understand it's a matter of taste.
Hey, thanks, Brian. We appreciate it, buddy.
When I was seeing a statistical breakdown that said, wow, if some people could make a certain number of changes, that there would be that so many other people would benefit. And in terms of fertilizer, I also understand what Brian is saying. But at the same point, what I was really addressing and thinking about as I was watching this film is it's really the large, when you're talking about these factory farms that we don't need, that really become unsustainable. That's really the issue. I'm not saying like you could probably still go out there and in terms of fertilization,
mm-hmm.
get where we need to get to.
Sure.
But I don't think the
people
factory
power.
Farm is necessarily
yeah,
acquired.
And he even goes to a factory farm, and that's what I thought this movie was going to be about, was showing, you know, the Upton Sinclair jungle aspect
right.
that I didn't, you know, want to see. No one wants to see that. Not many people do. Some people, I'm sure, it's a fabulous thing to watch. But they hardly show that. But when he is at one of those industrialized farms, even the guy who runs the place is like, eh, there is not enough land on earth for us to possibly meet the demand of beef in the future.
Right.
With 7 million, a billion plus people.
And then eventually it'll be this choice will be forced upon us.
Oh, and then could you imagine the price of that Chipotle burrito? Today it's free. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be $150 in just a couple of years.
It's a new cigarette.
It is. It is going to be like getting a Marlboro, a pack of Marlboros. All right. Well, interesting Cowspiracy. Check it out for free on YouTube if you want,
yes.
Or on Netflix.
Or on Netflix if you prefer to go the Netflix route.
And really, you know, be lucid. It's densely statistical, but the stats are mind-blowing. Why don't we just lighten it up with some Valentine's Day stuff
we
next hour?
Yes.
Do you promise?
I promise you.
Heart-shaped Chipotle sandwiches.
Yeah, right. You know, we've taken on the bread and butter of Chicagoland this hour, last hour, you know, talking about race. It's just too dense. It's
for the record, guys, I'm with Brian.
Oh, okay. Sean comes down
I'm 5 weeks
for 5 weeks.
Five weeks.
Saving at the end of the hour.
Nice, Sean. I'm sorry. I had no idea.
Congratulations,
you
Sean.
Nice.
It's not a funeral.
It's like you're pregnant.
No, this is.
I feel so happy for you.
I'm Roger. Yeah. I'm beaming.
There's a glow. There's like a glow around him now. I can tell that he is without beef.
Yes. Oh.
WGN. It's Jones and Mike in for Matt Bubala. I thought that they would give us the studio with the fireplace in it, but they saw fit to not do that. So it is cold out there, man. Be careful. Jones, you being without children, me being with entirely too many children.
They're like cattle.
Yeah, they're like heads of cattle in my house eating everything in sight.
You barely have enough grain to feed them.
You should see the roundup at dinner time. Jeez.
It is. Yeah. It is. Talk about methane.
Yeah.
Roger.
I've been there, Roger. It's brutal.
Yeah, it is. We're contributing to climate change in our own right.
Well, you should package it. You can make money off of that.
If we could bottle that.
It, yeah. That would be awesome.
Roger, back me up on this.
Okay.
When you, and I think it happens at different times in your parenting life, but I think it happens for all of us. It may happen when you find out your partner is with child for the very first time.
Okay.
It may happen the first time you hold that child. It may happen later on. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it varies from person to person, even race to race. But there is a list of things that every parent has filed away in the deep recesses of their brain of things they don't ever want to hear from their child.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Like, not like a word or, but like an admission or they'll learn about something, some sort of a disclosure.
Does I'm pregnant fall into this?
Yes, okay. That would be one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Probably
I know
every
how
parent has.
This was.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, but let's put a condition on I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
If your child is married,
that's
a great thing to hear.
But like 15 years old, next week trying out for the volleyball team. Actually, I'm not going to make it.
Sophomore year, That's probably on everybody's list. And I would love to see. There's got to be a Rasmussen Marist poll somewhere that would compare races and people around the world.
But I think in general, something like that would be unnerving to a parent.
Yeah. And so this is all leading towards a very personal disclosure.
Uh-oh. Should we hold on to something here?
I got one of those things that I don't think was on my list before, but it should be on your list now if you are a parent. I got notified this week that one of my children was being sent home from school.
Because of?
Lice.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
Now, so is this a major worry for you, Roger?
Oh, of course.
Was that on your list when you found out that your wife was pregnant?
What, that I hope
someday
our child
have
doesn't have...
Lice.
Well, we knew it comes with school. It happens.
Yeah.
I was 3 weeks ago, I was bowling, on Thursday night, and one of the guys comes up, and his son goes to Lane Tech, and they got an email to the parents saying there's lice in the school.
There's been an outbreak.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, now, everyone, look, under your chairs, I have provided each of you your own tongue depressor that you can use to look for nits later on.
You got the little comb, the little itsy-bitsy comb.
Why are you moving away from me, Jones?
I'm just uncomfortable with this whole thing. Not eating meat, comfortable.
Yeah.
Lice, uncomfortable.
So I'm not going to throw which child, you know, was diagnosed under the bus, but one of my brood did come home. So when that happens, you go under lockdown.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The whole house, yeah. Like, it was like Saigon in 75 mm-hmm. in our house for the last 36 hours.
Rising off the floor.
That's right. Yeah, helicopter descended. Mm-hmm. We all were clamoring to get on it. There were only so many seats.
Gas mask on and yeah.
I could barely get you to answer one of my texts in the middle of this.
No time. Doing 19 loads of laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was serious business, and I'm really glad to be here. Fireplace or no fireplace in the Allstate Showcase Studio, I'm happy to be here for that reason. So we're going through I spent like $100 on all these gel kits and the little combs and all of this stuff that I never thought would have been on my list as a parent to fear.
Now, had you thought of it before you got the word? Had you ever thought of it?
Well, as a child, I remember in about 1984, my grammar school had it so bad that they sent everybody home for a couple of days.
Oh.
And I was one of the only kids, like, apparently impervious to many small insects, including lice.
That's your superhuman strength.
It is. I repel them. I repulse humans and insects alike. So I sat there while everyone else was getting checked, and I remember being like, I don't know what's wrong with you guys. So, but there is a stigma attached to this that is concerning to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm interested in the bonding moment that happened with my children, and we kind of turtled up as a family, and I kind of got the cover stories going. All right, we're going to throw the youngest kid under the bus because he's not of the age where he'll be bullied.
All right.
And the rest of you need to go along with this story that we're being quarantined, et cetera, et cetera. And you're clear. Otherwise, you're going into your teen years. It's going to be difficult for you, potentially. But now I'm finding out that you're saying that that's not necessarily the case.
And I was going to somewhat rebut that, not from personal experience, but I reached out to, and I found this very interesting, I reached out to my sister, and I was talking to her about a number of things. And I said, and then Mike's like going crazy. He's got the kids, they got the lice, what's he going to do? And she had said to me that it is not nearly the stigma, and she works at a high school, and as friends who work at grammar schools, it's not nearly the stigma that it was back in the day.
Oh, God, I'm praying that that's the case. Why like would that be? I want to find out.
I'll tell you. It, and it's bizarre. It's like almost Hunger Games-like. It's serious.
It's a badge of honor.
We're losing our minds.
Okay, it's Jones and Mike in from Matt Bubala, 720 WGN. This is true. They must rebound. Crawford getting pulled the other night. Against those Sharks, you said they always look good. Oh, against the Stars.
Stars.
I had it in my head, Joe Thornton, and I guess maybe I was looking at him being ahead of Hossa on the all-time list.
Okay, that was just in your brain.
So I had Thornton on my brain, but yeah, against the Stars. Yeah, Patrick Sharp coming back.
Well, we got them a couple weeks ago, 5-1, so they're always going to bounce back and forth, two high-powered offenses.
This is true. So the last 36 hours in my house have been pretty harrowing.
Harrowing.
Yeah, I see.
Lice intensive.
So one of the children gets sent home with a nit, which are the eggs.
Yes.
Of lice, right? So then the whole family goes into full on mode of trying to, obviously, it was like in Caddyshack. It was like Caddyshack, and it was like Coming to America, because it was Caddyshack in that it was, the pool was scrubbed, sterilized, and disinfected.
Right.
So the whole house, stem to stern, gets, you know, kind of ripped apart. And then all of the children and the parents, it was like the soul glow. in Coming to America with the shower caps and putting the stuff in.
Right.
You got to put like a pesticide in your hair, even if you're not infected.
Did you and Jill? You
just,
and Jill had to
sure.
Do
just
really?
to make sure that everything's totally kosher.
I see a little Mr. Mom in there, too.
Yes, another movie tie in there.
Thank you.
Children are
because
just...
I'm doing like more than my typical routine of domicile activities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm folding clothes. I should never be doing that. Apparently, I'm not good at it. So
not good at what? Folding clothes.
Yeah. Apparently, you can be good at it.
Right.
Apparently, I'm not. So many times,
wow.
My wife will be just, "Do you stop that? you don't even know how to do it." And I'm like, "Okay, no problem."
You did it on purpose.
You would think that it was, yeah. No, that's
no,
not
he
the case.
Does. He's got too much pride. He wants to be the.
I do.
I know what I'm doing, Jill.
I'm competitive.
Yeah, he's not that. I want to say you're not that clever, but it's not of your nature.
When our kids get lice, we have the most lice in the neighborhood.
Right. We're the best at everything.
That's right. And so the whole house goes under quarantine,
wow.
And I'm right away concerned that there's going to be a stigma for the two oldest. Because I even asked one of the school nurses, I said, hey, has there been an outbreak that I can pin this on? And she's like, nope, you're the only ones. So then I went, okay, all right, two oldest, here's what we do. We're going to blame it on the little one. He's got years to rebuild his reputation here. And you have to turtle up here. And you have a long weekend. Kids will forget by next week. And in the meantime, wear your shower caps. With your home remedies, olive oil, vinegar, there's all sorts of ways, I guess, that you take care of
vinegar.
And so, but the stigma you're saying does not exist.
Well, it's funny. So I was talking to my sister after I had heard what went down with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And I had mentioned like, oh, Mike, and then the kids, and they got the lice and what have you. And my sister was like, you know what? She goes, it's so funny. Because I said to her, I was like, I don't want, because I'm so close to your kids, I'm like, I don't want them becoming the lice kids at school. And she was like, she goes, it's funny you say that. It's not nearly the stigma that it is.
Yeah.
Because now what she has heard through friends of hers,
mm-hmm.
is when there are these lice outbreaks, now this is what she tells me.
God, I hope she's right.
They have like these lice shampooing parties, like everyone gets together.
Are you serious?
And it's not like a familial thing. In fact, one of her friends had a
what?
Daughter, 8 years old,
uh-huh.
and she didn't have lice. And she was upset that she didn't have
Come
lice
on.
Because she wanted to be, because then kids got to leave school. They got to kind of go do the same things in the lice shampooing parties. I'm just saying.
It does feel good.
I can't verify that people are having them, but I've heard that they're having them. And my sister said her friend's child was heartbroken that she didn't have lice, so she couldn't go participate.
Sprinkle some Parmesan on your head and let's go to that party.
I know. I'm just telling you.
It's not fun, though. It's not fun. Both our kids had it.
Thank you, Roger. That was really big of you to admit that.
Well, it's true.
I appreciate that.
You know, and the eldest is 37, youngest is 27.
Mm-hmm.
And they both had it in grade school. And they both have thick hair.
Mm.
And it was very, very hard with that little comb to go through. And it's not a one-night deal.
No,
you have to
yeah.
do it several times.
That's right.
Yeah.
It is a protocol that lasts for days.
Mm-hmm.
And all sorts of people are chiming in. My, a 630 texter says, "Oh, my hairstylist tells customers to use cedar side."
The heck is that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds like I don't know. And a shower cap. The medicines usually don't work well, and viral-friendly, non-poisonous works every time. So you start to get the home remedy crowd saying, "Oh, no, over the counter doesn't work," and et cetera, et cetera. And meanwhile, I'm just concerned about the reputation. All right, we have a story. I typically don't want you to lie, but in this case, we're going to come up with a story.
Did you?
And that felt good.
Did you craft a story, Roger, with your kids?
No, everybody in the school had it. It was like,
we got it.
You know, it's like, how far can you go before you get it? Like, is the rest of the class going to get it and then you'll be the last one? Or you're going to be in the middle of the pack?
Yeah.
You don't want to be the first.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, because then they blame you.
Yeah, right.
You're patient zero.
Yeah.
And that no one wants to be patient zero in any outbreak.
No. So then you got to go down to Atlanta to the CDC. They got to run tests.
That's right.
Like, oh, it's a mess.
Uh-huh. Now, is there any chance that your kids would have been disappointed during this lice outbreak to have not gotten lice, which is the new trend I'm hearing?
No. It's, yeah. I don't think they care. They cared because they didn't want to have to go through it, you know, with the shampooing and all right. this other. They didn't want to have to go through the hassles of that. But no, I don't. They kind of expected they would eventually get it because they got upset at first. And we said, oh, you know, everybody gets it. Don't worry about it. You're not so special. Don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're not so special. Yeah, and it's, I believe me, in 1984, I didn't care. I loved, oh, great, all right. And they weren't discreet because it was an outbreak. But that stigma that, you know, you've done something wrong. And it's like, no, you just caught, it's like catching a virus.
Yeah.
It's like catching the flu. You didn't do anything wrong.
Here's a question. And I know nothing about this, but if you had, let's say, your boy had lice, mm-hmm. and I'm saying any, not your boy, mm-hmm. or Rogers, anybody's boy, could you shave, if you shave their head?
Yeah.
And then that would be it?
That'll do
now,
the trick.
That's not going to work for girls. They're not going to want to do that, but that would do the trick. Just shave the head, wash the scalp, and then you wouldn't even have to do the whole thing for days.
I was showing them pictures of Sinead O'Connor and saying, see, she was beautiful when she was bald, but they weren't buying in.
My sons would go with that. I was showing them pictures of my dad, and they weren't buying it either.
Yeah,
it is a hard sale, especially on the girls.
Die, you know.
Yeah, I can't believe that they're doing parties like the chicken pox parties that I've heard.
No, that's ridiculous.
That's what she said.
People are getting together to...
There are lice removal parties now. Kids are upset that they don't have head lice.
Jeez. And it is, well, it's a big business, too. So the school nurse said, you know, there is a place. And sure enough, I looked it up, and they have multiple locations throughout the area. And it's big money. It's like $100 a kid minimum to get them.
To do what?
To get them nitpicked.
Oh, so you wouldn't even have to do it.
And this is all this business does. You show up at a salon. It's by appointment. It's very discreet. And
I would have done that.
You're there for it. Well, you know, how many hundreds of dollars am I shedding, you know, spreading out here?
I would not. Yeah, I would not have wanted to touch
I will
my kids.
Pick nits till the cows come
there
home.
Oh,
before
back to cows.
I spent $100 a kid to send them to a specialty business that apparently there's multiple ones around the area.
I'm sending them to the specialty business. I'm not touching those kids. I'm not.
Well, no,
kids.
You should.
Yeah, what are you? Ooh, can I touch you? Can I touch your hair? Ooh, I want to see them. Can they crawl on my hands? Yeah, right.
And apparently, selfies, I guess, are leading to more of a prevalence of this.
Because they're connecting heads. In
apparently,
the
kids are starting to spread it by putting their heads together in selfies. So, another reason to viscerally hate this outbreak.
Selfie.
What is this world coming to?
Yes, this outbreak of selfies must be stopped.
Right, the lice are fine. The selfies must stop.
WGN 720 WGN. Jones and Mike in for Matt Bubala. 312-981-7200 is the number. And I love this time of the year because I like reminiscing, Jones, to being a child when I would run home from school on a very important mission, a task so crucial that it was all-encompassing for a few years there. I had to get home every day in the month of February to get to the mailbox first before my mom would pluck the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition out and throw it away.
And why would you be taxed with this before your older brother Danny? He had the longer legs.
Yeah, you would think. You would think, but for some reason,
maybe your mother would keep her eye on the older boy.
Maybe we were working as
a... don't want him going blind.
That's right. That's right.
You were the one who could kind of go under the radar.
I don't know what it was, but for whatever reason, that was my job, was to grab that for the men of the house. And
now, men being, would Wally, would your dad?
Yeah.
Who had the subscription?
I think it was
Danny.
He paid for it, and it was in one of the son's names. Probably my older brother, you're right.
I kind of remember you had saying Danny used to have SI.
but we all read it. But the February, one of the February issues was the must-have, the must-see for all boys of that generation. And now I'm not so sure. So Sports Illustrated has had to be more inclusive with their objectification of women. And so they've included now plus-sized models into, this is the second year in a row where they're starting to integrate people who aren't size zeros. And this is making waves for some reason.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say, so I saw the picture of the plus size models, and there's also a woman in there, 56.
Yeah, for research purposes.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, no, this was purely research purposes.
Or did you get to my mailbox first?
I did not get to your mailbox. Now, it's coming out this week, so be sure to get to your mailbox quickly this week.
Doesn't it come out earlier on digital? I'm just speculating.
Yeah, you're that's a good guess, Rod.
Roger.
We're fucked.
Well, no, here's the thing, though. I have to say, like,
I get it for the stories.
That's right.
I do too. I like the locations.
The cartoons.
When am I going to get the Turks and Caicos?
That's right. So, although, what's holding you back, frankly?
Nothing. Well, finances.
Lice? No.
Finances. Finances and head lice.
That's right.
You know, I have to say, though, the last few years, when SI branched out, and then they started to bring in, like, players' wives and girlfriends, and then female athletes, I thought that was cool. I dug it. Like, years ago when they did Steffi Graf, and I don't think Steffi Graf is all that attractive, but she's got a great body. So when they put her in SI and I saw the photo, I was like, oh, wow, Steffi's pretty hot.
I'm a fan. I was a Monica Seles fan, but now I'm a Steffi Graf fan.
Yeah, and I was like, she's not cute in the face, but she rocks it. That was interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that. So I kind of dug that. Or when they were like showing other, like, oh, she's married to Roger Clemens. Good for her, you know, good for him. It was kind of cool to
see
that perspective. Then when they branched out last year into the plus size model, I was like, okay, cool.
I approve of this innovation.
Well, I'll check it out. But I have to say, and they repeated this year. Last year, two plus size models. But one of them was in a paid advertisement.
And you have a problem with that.
Yes,
that doesn't count.
Because SI is doing this thing like, oh yeah, we're looking ahead, and plus we're gonna have multiple plus size models. Like, no, they're being paid to be in there. A company is paying to put them in there.
So that does not count as equally objectifying.
It doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I will actually be piggish enough to say I saw the 56-year-old model, and I think there are more attractive 56-year-old models out there.
Okay, so they went for the first time ever, a woman of a more mature bent, and then they had two other women.
Plus-size models.
Which is a controversial term, but yeah, they're shapely. Let's put it that way.
You know, if curves were good enough for James Bond.
That's right.
Then they're good enough for everybody else.
That's right. Miss Galore, that's
mm-hmm.
right. Mm-hmm. I like what you're saying there. I like what you're saying there. But
well formed.
That's right.
Well, it depends.
You don't think that they pick the right models?
Not always. No.
But you're a fan of the concept.
I like going because to me, I don't care about the traditional model. That's a real boring look. It's not a realistic look. It's just very boring. But when I can look at someone and go, okay, here's a great example. There's a girl that I work with.
And she literally is a girl. You're not being objectifying.
No.
She's a young lady. She's so young.
Very, she is of the female persuasion.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very, very sweet, mild, conservative type person.
Uh-huh.
Everybody at work, she connected with everybody at work at Facebook at one time, and everybody's going through her pictures.
Mm.
And there were pictures of her on vacation. And she has got a rockin' bod.
Okay.
And I thought that's one of those things where when you have that moment where, like, someone can surprise you like that, I dig that. Like, when you open up a swimsuit issue and then there's just model after model after model.
And you're like,
you
oh, look at that parrot and that volcano.
It's boring. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, there's, and then you
well,
see
I
the
think
boat.
You said it before, if you want to get on a semi-serious note, it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
It really is. You're looking at women who, on purpose, because of their profession, they are models, that they unrealistically go on diets so that they are so thin.
Allegedly.
You are crazy with the allegedly.
Look, we're going to get sued. We're going to get sued by the cattlemen. We're going to get sued by the
lice dealers.
The people that made the Stuff Black People Like.com website. There's lawsuits coming. No, just trying to protect.
If you ask any woman, they would, to a person, yeah, I think, say that the traditional Sports Illustrated swimsuit. I'm getting all mumbly here.
Yeah,
swimsuit models.
He falls to pieces on the swimsuit models. Even just talking about
it.
I'm
topic.
Trying to keep it together here. Are unrealistic.
Yeah, and they airbrush them. No
average,
question.
Your average female person doesn't do that. I mean, they don't diet to the point where they look okay in a magazine picture.
Right.
You know, it's like a TV, you know, television adds, 10, 20 pounds to a person?
Sure.
60 in my case. And so, you know, a still picture, specially airbrushed.
Yeah, in Turks and Caicos.
In Turks and Caicos. I love the waves, by the way.
Uh-huh.
It's just unrealistic. So to have the plus size or whatever you want to label.
More realistic.
It's more realistic. It's the kind of person that you would see every day on the street, every day at work. It's a normal human being. I'm not saying that the skinny models are not normal. I'm just saying it's just fairly unrealistic.
No, okay. And it's brilliant what they've done, because every year the controversy used to be, why are they allowed to do this every year, objectify women? And now that argument has been pushed aside, because now the argument is, are they really plus-sized? Is this part of an ad? Now we're talking about plus size, as opposed to whether or not they should be doing it at all.
And is it piggish of me that I only liked one of the three?
Yes.
Come on!
It's Jones and Mike, 720 WGN. Jones and Mike in for Matt Bubala. Get all of our shows at WGNplus.com. Talking about the Sports Illustrated plus-sized model inclusion this year. And a texter from 563 writes, I'm sorry, those are not plus-size models. If they want real plus-size, I'll send them pictures of my wife.
Where's the rim shot?
So info@jonesandmike.com.
Yeah.
I think you could probably send those there. We'll vet them.
We've got 10 minutes. Get on it!
info@jonesandmike.com. We'll vet them. Don't bother the WGN servers with that kind of nonsense. But we'll vet them for Sports Illustrated. We're here to help. I go to Jewel today, Jones, not to get the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, but to actually, I know it's weird, I got food. I got food for my family. And there is, it's a very difficult period of the year to go there because of the throngs of men who are dutifully flicking through the cards for Valentine's Day. And I don't do that. I don't do that. And I felt sorry for them because they had grim looks on their faces as they're trying to pick out the perfect, you know, card to summarize the love that they have for their wife or partner. And I thought, oh, those poor SOBs doing it again, doing the thing they don't want to do. How many people do you think really dread Valentine's Day? Give me the single guy's perspective on Valentine's Day. Will you be cuddling up with a rom-com as is your want?
No. I will actually be going to a college basketball game in Wisconsin.
Okay. As part of a date.
Even better. Okay. No, not part of a date. You know, it's funny. I would even up it, because when even up the ante on that, what percentage of those people are in a relationship that they don't even want to be in?
but they are feeling like they have to participate in this annual ritual.
Right.
And even worse so, they'll even participate in Sweetest Day on top of it.
No, right. No, no. Sweetest Day is just a wannabe.
You're anti-Sweetest Day? That's a Hallmark holiday, Roger.
We got Valentine's Day. That's important enough.
Okay.
But to me, if you're getting like a card a day or two out, that tells me you're not really invested in things. And if you're getting the card a day or two out, do you even want to be in that relationship?
So there,
I would say there could be a good 30-40% of people going out to dinner tonight that as they're sitting down there, they got the smile on their face. In the back of their minds, they're thinking, if I could just, how do I get out of this?
what glass do I break to escape this?
Oh, it's not even that. It's even more base than that. It's if you're waiting till a couple of days before, you already know walking into the store that there's nothing left on those shelves, and you're going to have to settle for one of the worst cards ever.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now you're thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to get it when I go and give the card. Seriously.
Or you got to pay the $5.99 freight. Nobody wants the $5.99 cards.
One of the big ones.
That's right.
Right.
The 99-cent ones are all gone.
Exactly. Mm. And you don't want the ones to play music because, good Lord, she hit you over the head with the one last year.
Well, is there any chance, though, that that is a subconscious tactic?
Where it's going
like,
late?
If I'm a lousy enough partner,
right.
this woman will jettison me. And I need to get out of this, but I don't
you
have
need a
the
reason,
stones
though.
To do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've got to give her the ammo where she will feel comfortable pulling that love, the trigger on that love gun.
Yeah.
Watch it. Every year I forget that my wife hates Russell Stover, but they've got killer packaging. It's a giant heart box. And so I just go, oh. Russell Stover every year. And every year she looks at me like, you're such a dumbo. Don't you remember the last 22 years when I told you I hated it? So what you're saying is on some deep recess of my brain, I want out.
Well, you're looking for a chance to like go into the man cave for the next like 48 hours and not be bothered.
There's some level of escape. You either want to be banished to the man cave for the next 48 to 72 hours, or you're trying to be a crappy enough partner that you get launched. That is my belief.
And there's one more. You need some loving, and so you're just reinforcing her contention that you're totally incapable of doing anything by yourself, and she needs to help you along in life. You see what I'm saying? And you need her so bad, and oh, isn't he so cute that he's so incapable of even picking out a good card.
That's what it is.
See?
I would never.
She just needed to pick up on the hint that she needs to do her own Valentine's Day shopping.
Exactly. This is what comes from 40 years of marriage. So
you are good. 312-981-7200. Does that carry any water? Will you be gritting your molars while you're smiling tonight at dinner?
I would love to know the percentage of that. I would put relationships at 30 or 40%. 30 or 40%.
30 to 40%
of relationships, the one of the partners, if not both, want out, and they don't know how to do it. There are even people that are coupled up right now that are thinking to themselves, my life would be so much easier if my partner would just pass.
No way.
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
That's a horrible thing to say.
I guess I have it lucky, guys. We kind of boycott Valentine as a couple. So
you guys boycott it. Yeah, you actually use the term boycott.
Yeah, yeah, Valentine and like Sweetest Day. We just. No.
Well, you know, Nick DiGilio, this is his worst holiday. He hates. He has an anti-Valentine's Day show.
He does.
Why does he hate it so much?
He feels that it's a ripoff. He feels that it's not heartfelt. So on his show the other night, he had all the anti-Valentine's Day movies, anti-Valentine's Day songs, and yeah.
He celebrates the massacre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The only good thing about this holiday was the massacre.
There you go. Yeah.
Now, I have to go back to Sean. Now, Sean, do you have to do, is there a makeup date?
Yeah. Do you guys celebrate, like, Memorial Day or something?
No, we just live life and enjoy each other. Okay. It's like there are no demands based upon, like, man-made holidays.
Who are you, Sean?
Yeah.
You
know, what?
We travel a lot together. We always take, we have one daughter, and we have great parents that are always there for us when we want to take a weekend away up in Wisconsin or somewhere. And
I've read about people like you.
I mean,
that's great.
Look, it's no pressure. That's beautiful. I don't have to get her anything, but usually I'll get her and my daughter something for Valentine's Day.
Okay,
a small gesture.
Nice.
Okay,
but there's no pressure there to do it.
It's not expected.
No,
if you
like
come
tomorrow
home with
night,
Russell Stover.
Tomorrow night
be
we're going
lambasted.
To the Blackhawks game together.
Oh, nice.
And it's something I love. She loves it. We're going to have fun. And it's no pressure. Have fun.
Have you ever not gotten some token of your affection for her on a Valentine's or Sweetest Day?
Yeah, have you ever skipped it and you thought, well, we have this understanding, and then it bit you.
Sweetest Day gets skipped the majority of the time.
I could see that.
But it's in October. There's only one holiday worth a darn in October.
No, I don't skip it. I don't skip it every time. You know, but it's no pressure to, like, make reservations and we have to go out and we have to do something. It's none of that.
Okay.
None of that. Valentine's Day, I would say half the time on Valentine's Day in the past, I've been at the NBA All-Star Weekend.
Oh, yeah?
So I haven't even been in town.
See, he had that built-in excuse and that, I
got to
say
do it,
that
for
trained
work,
her.
Dear.
Yeah, that trained her to not expect it.
Now, Sean, do you have any buddies of yours where you can tell they're going through the Valentine's routine right now, and you know they want out, and they don't know how to do it, and they have to go through this whole expensive thing.
Kill me, Sean.
You know what? I try to give advice and say, guys, don't put so much pressure on this, man. If you do, you know, just nice romantic things throughout the year, then you won't put all the pressure on one specific day that the world says you have to be romantic on this day.
You're giving us a bad name because you're dribbling and drabbing in your romanticism throughout the calendar year.
You have to.
Sean, he was made in a lab.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you are too level-headed to be
you
believed.
You have to. Wouldn't you want to do something that, wait a minute, we just talked about being made to do something that you don't want to do. What better than to do something when you want to do it, when you want to be romantic,
romantic
throughout the year, and then have no pressure for the man-made dates.
Blow her mind on a Tuesday. See, I'd be afraid that all of those Tuesday, you know, for no reasons, I'd be afraid that she'd forget those. And I'd be like, what? I didn't. Right. I got you the Russell Stover.
I put the money in the tip jar. You didn't see me put the money in the tip jar.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you remember? Don't you remember the flowers that I got? Or the time we went out to Chili's when we didn't have to? Don't you remember that? That was on a Thursday for no reason. I was building up a reserve of currency.
Not even that. Don't you remember I made the bed?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago?
I washed all the children's heads when they had lice. I did that. Yeah, I'd be afraid that she'd forget that. I'd have to kind of keep on reminding her.
I warmed the car up for you so you could go to the store and get the lice medicine.
That's right. Yeah. Speaking of which, would you mind running down the block and warming up my car, Jones?
Not to get lice medicine.
Well, we don't have to get the lice medicine.
Then yes,
but
there's a gang of cows out in the parking lot, I understand, waiting for them.
They might be able to help us out. So the Big O is up next. Yes, yes. I am thrilled to be preceding him. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. We'll go to Roger in just a few minutes.